Okay, Romans 3. Let's pick up at, we'll read 21, but we'll try to get down to 31. We'll read 21, open in prayer, and get started. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. I'll read 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and the time that we are prepared to spend in it. We pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that the scriptures might be opened to us, that we may understand the truth of your word, in particularly of the work of Jesus Christ and how it is applied to us as we believe. We just thank you for each member here. We pray that you would strengthen us according to our needs. And those who are not here, we pray that you would strengthen them also. We just ask these things as we go forward with thankful hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's we're trying to pick up from a few weeks ago, but I know we left off. We were talking about propitiation, but this is Paul setting forth for the Romans, not just the Romans, but for us, the importance of Christ and his propitiatory work. Or his satisfying sacrifice. And Paul's going to explain as we go forward that this is available, Louise, for all, the Jew and the Gentile. And it is not your works that he's happy with. It's the performance. When he talks about in verse 22, even the faith of Jesus Christ, it's his performance that God is satisfied with. When you see that phrase, the faith of Christ, it's his performance that God is pleased with. In so much so, he says that God has set him forth to be a propitiation. He said, this is what I'm satisfied with. This is what makes me happy. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased in his work. And that's the theme going forward when Paul, he says, for all, 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely, declared righteous freely, given a righteous standing in God's sight, not in each other's sight. God could look at you now and say that I find you righteous if you are trusting in Christ, in his performance, not yours. That is, you're trusting in his work to get saved, to stay saved. I know you're probably thinking, I know that. But that's good because some people still haven't, they're still not satisfied with his work like God was. But he says that we're justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, where his ability, his liberating ability. You know, redemption is the deliverance by a price. And much like he went to the Jews, and they told him that we've never been in bondage to any man. But they didn't realize, like many of us, people in general, don't realize that even though we're free, we're still a slave to sin in many respects. Is you can hear people will say, well, I can stop anytime I want to. You believe that?
That we say it?
I mean that people say I can quit when I'm ready. But they never get ready. They never get ready. And there's other things too that we pick up along the way. But the redemption is in Christ. Is he frees us from, you know, I was reading something the other day, and it was about a Roman law. When a Roman would, if they had a war and they would take over, or the next ruler, a lot of times that ruler would free all of the previous prisoners that were under his father. That's pretty gracious, isn't it? And they had no reason to do that, because obviously those people were enemies to his father. That's why they were in prison. But he would come in, and it was his discretion whether to release those prisoners or not. And a lot of times they would let him go. And I thought that was interesting, where when they come in, and much like David, when David took over in Saul's place, and he said, is there any left of the house of Saul? You know who Saul was, right?
Mephibosheth, wasn't it?
That was, you know who Saul was, right? Mm-hmm. You know who he, when I say who he was, I know you know who he was. You know his relationship with David. Mm-hmm. Do you remember
Saul's
that?
Daughter, didn't he?
Do you remember his he was always chasing him, trying to what? Congratulate him?
Kill him.
Trying to kill him. So he takes, when they are hiding, they hid his son, Mephibosheth. And when David took over, he said, is there any left of the house of Saul? What do you think he wanted to do with him?
He was thinking he wanted to kill him.
They were thinking he wanted to kill him. But he said, that I might show mercy to, for Jonathan's sake. That's grace. That's a great picture of grace. But when he talks about the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, he liberates us, frees us from the penalty of sin, the wages of sin. Not just that, but the power of it, to have dominion, and that's in chapter 6, the power of sin to have dominion over you in your life. The dominion over us in our lives. I'll say it a different way. The redemption is freeing you from not just the penalty of sin, but the dominion of sin over you in your life. The what?
Wait. I know what I learned this message. It was freeing, because it's like you always felt like you had that weight, like you always had to confess your sins, you had to do this, you had to do that.
Right.
And it's like it's all been done.
She said it took the weight. It's the guilt. It takes, mm-hmm. And not only takes the guilt of sin off of you. Because if you're honest, you go back to verse 23 and you know that all have sinned and I'm in that all. But justify freely, you know, when you know you know that you had nothing to do with your redemption.
Not even a little.
You brought the problem in, and Christ fixed that problem. How could he do that? Verse 25 says, whom God has set forth, Christ has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And this is what he means. His blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. 26, to declare, I say, at this time. His righteousness. Whose righteousness?
Christ.
That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now that's where not only is he just to handle the sins that were under the old, when you say the old covenant, get some pens here. Up to the cross. Well, all the sins that were prior to that, how were they dealt with? They were dealt with by, we'll just call it the short account system. That is, they would bring the required sacrifice and offer that. It was not permanent. Because we know that. Why? Because Hebrews says the blood of bulls and goats, it was not possible, right? That the blood and bulls and goats could
take away
sin. We know what it did do. It covered them. That's where he talks about the mercy seat, where the sins were dealt with at the mercy seat. That was weeks ago. You know what was in there? The law was in there, the pot, the manna was in there, and Aaron's rod was in there. And God said, this is where you meet me. And the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat where atonement or reconciliation was made. That's what he was satisfied with when they met there. That God is just. He was just. He offered them a way to be forgiven back then, knowing that it was only temporary. So when Christ comes, he comes as, I keep using this, what's this called? Yeah, what is this called?
Mercy seat.
Right. I was making sure y'all, it's been a minute. It's called the mercy seat. In Romans, it's called In Romans 3, it's called you see that? Those 4 weeks make a difference, don't it? Mm-hmm. Propitiation is the same word as is the Greek word for mercy seat. So it is in Romans 3 is called propitiation. That's what it. Okay, that's so. You got to make the connection. So the sacrifice was made here. That's what took away the sins of the past for how long?
One year.
Whoops. And they had to come back, the priest had to come back every year because it was not possible that he could do it once
for all.
Because this process was a type or a shadow of what Christ was to do. So this is kind of like a recap. So when Jesus comes, John says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, that's the process. And you might read somewhere that Jesus Christ in Psalm in Hebrews that said he was a priest have kids of that. See, all these things, they should be throwing flags up of remembrance in your mind. And it's all associated with his work, with the work that he's coming to accomplish. And when he says it's finished,
there's no more to be done.
Then you know that it's what?
Sleep.
It's finished. Right. He comes to take away the old that he may establish the new. Now, the scripture said in verse 26 that to declare, I say, this is Paul, he said to declare, I say,
at this time,
those are three key words, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So if it wasn't possible for the blood and bulls and goats to take away sin, what happened to him? If it wasn't possible for the blood, according to Hebrews, it wasn't possible for the blood and bulls and goats to take away sin. You know what? Exactly. You know what? I'm going to write a word up here. You tell me if you... Expiate. You know what that word means? It means to remove.
Anyway, that
completely gone. They could never expiate them. They could never take them away completely, once for all. That's why he came back year after year. It's an acknowledgement that we're still guilty. Mm-hmm. We're still guilty. When you trust Christ, guess what?
Guilty.
He takes them away. He said, being justified freely through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. When you get saved, when you trust Christ, you should not, if you have an understanding of his work on our behalf, you should not doubt your salvation. You should not doubt your righteous standing that he gives you freely. What makes you doubt that is you look at you. You know you're not worthy, right? That's why he said it's free. So you'll look, you say, man, I can't believe I did that. Like it caught God by surprise. I can believe it. As a matter of fact, sometimes you don't do a lot of things until you get saved. Oh, y'all. Okay, I know I lost y'all. Huh? Listen, you know what? And this is where, when he says to declare at this time his rightness. How right was he? He was tempted in all points, and yet sinning not, and without sin. And he said, I'll give that righteousness to you if you believe. So when Christ, when we believe, that's given to you freely. That status is given to you freely. You notice they had the trial going on with the actors who paid to have their students given preferential treatment. They were paying for their students to have a standard of intelligence that they did not have. They were paying for it. They didn't have it. But they said, if I pay you, will you pretend like they have it? And he said, how much is it worth to you? I don't know how much they paid. Now,
six figures.
That's much like he hath made him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is, Christ paid for you to have a righteous character, quality, standing with God that you don't have. And will, outside of him, will never have. That's why he says, I will give it to you. I paid for it. I'll give it to you freely. Is that a deal? That's a good deal, isn't
it? Amazing grace.
So you could have a list of things that I can point out in you, and you can point out in me, that disqualify me. But Louise, it's been given to me. The person who paid for it gave it to me. The person who paid for it gave it to me. You know, when people die, families have a hard time with the money. They have a hard time. They want to know who's getting the money. Oh, they know they are gone. We're gonna miss them. But what about the money? Who's getting the money? Am I right, Johnny?
What money?
So the issue is settled if there was a will. They may not like the outcome, but if it's written in the will that this person gets this and this person gets this as an heir, then that settles all strife. You can, but so.
I don't know that it settles strife, but it settles the argument.
It's
of what?
Legally, it settles the legal argument.
Right.
Now, that's where I'm getting is this. When Christ dies, he is able, in Hebrews said that he obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained it. He worked for it. He earned it. He got it. And he said, I can give it to whom I will. So he obtained eternal redemption for us. And he's able to give it to you. Eternal life, eternal redemption. Now, others may not like that. I'm saved once for all, without works. And they say, that's impossible. Where'd you get that from? And it's written. It says, right here, to declare his righteousness, that he might be just He might be just. He can take him away. If he says, I forgive you, I removed him that he might be just. That's permanent. And the justifier, Louise, is this. What comes after? What comes after? Okay, he took care of the ones. He's just because they didn't, those sins didn't go anywhere in the past. So he was just to take those away because he didn't let them skate. He dealt with them. He dealt with those. And the justifier, I'll deal with what's coming after too. That's tomorrow, next week, because the redemption, we just quoted it, is eternal redemption. Not just, it's only good for a certain point, and after that, I got to do it again. It's eternal redemption. The payment goes on and on and on. So I don't have to worry about if my sins are gone or the next person who trusts Christ in 2020 don't have to worry about if theirs will be gone. If he can forgive sin. If his blood is strong enough to last for the next 10 years or 20 years. I'm just giving the time frame. So, but he said that he might be just and a justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Where is boasting? What were they boast about? Why did Paul say, where is boasting? No performance. Paul says in Ephesians, by grace are you saved.
Through faith.
Not of works.
It's a gift of God, lest any man should
boast. It's a
gift.
A gift
of God.
Not
of works.
Whose works?
Our works.
Lest any man should boast. That's easy. I know you all know that. That's a. You know that not just as it's written, but you know that practically. That you have nothing to boast about. You bring nothing to the table. This is where, and I thought we covered a lot of this about the propitiation, how God was able, not only did he forgive, but he also gives something. He doesn't just take away your sin, but he also gives you what?
His
righteousness. There's that's that exchange that takes place. That's how he can be satisfied with what's going on there. That's how he can justify you, because there's some things that happen spiritually that happens there for us that you had nothing to do with. That's when we were looking at those three items that were in the, he said, put the law, Moses, put the law in there, put the pot of manna in there, put Aaron's rod in there. Those were all tokens, if you recall from those previous lessons. They were all tokens of rebellion. I'm just quoting this. You might have to go back and check the notes. We're playing a 4-week catch up here. They were all tokens of rebellion, but They were all so there are also ways that they were delivered out of that rebellion. Mm-hmm. Do you recall that?
Yeah.
It's no different. That's why when he says, put them in the ark. Put them, right, put them in the ark, where he called it a coffin. And we looked at the different incidents where, like Moses, when Moses was put in the ark, it wasn't because he was dead as a baby. It was deliverance. From what?
Pharaoh.
From Pharaoh what?
Wanted to kill him.
Wanted to kill him. It was deliverance from
death.
Right. The wrath of Pharaoh, which would have been death. Okay. Same way Joseph, when Joseph was in Egypt, mm-hmm. he said, take my bones out
and bury me in the promised land.
Because he knew. How did they get out of Egypt anyway?
Joseph through God. No. I'm thinking about when he got in a pit.
All right.
They got out of Egypt.
Joseph.
Because the Lord's. Oh, how did Joseph get out?
No.
How did Israel get out of Egypt?
No. How did Joseph get out? Yeah.
In a coffin.
Okay.
The last verse of the.
A coffin.
Genesis.
So when he was in the pit, is that also like a coffin too? Like he was, because he was delivered from that too.
Different kind of deliverance, but we're particularly looking at the when he put him in the ark, they embalmed him with spices.
Preserved.
Okay. He said,
buried.
Make sure you take me out. Take my bones out. Because he knew that God promised him what? Okay, where are they when he says that?
They're in Egypt.
They're in Egypt. Okay. How does he get out?
So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt.
I guess
they,
you know,
carried him out.
Yeah.
Which was an act of faith. It was an act of.
It was an act of faith.
Obedience.
I was trying to ease you up to it, but the way they got out was what happened to Egypt.
The Lord delivered them.
Right, was God delivered them, and his wrath was poured out on Egypt. Mm-hmm. And Joseph's, he knows that this is coming, but he said, you take me out because I know that one day God's going to deliver us. Deliver us to the land that he promised. And don't leave me here. Okay? The ark. When they are going out of, they go out of Egypt. And Moses, who is a deliverer, a type, right? He's the type. Type of Christ. They get to the Red Sea.
See the salvation of the Lord.
And the scripture said that those people were baptized.
In the cloud of the
unto Moses.
They were baptized unto Moses. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. In the cloud and in the sea, they weren't in the cloud and they weren't in the sea. 1 Corinthians 10, mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm doing this because I want to make a connection to something that we, about the propitiation and something that Peter says about Christ. 10. I'm sorry, I should have had it before I told you that. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Notice. And did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, if you remember anything, he said they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and they did eat and drink. Where do you get that from? They did eat and drink the same what?
Spiritual meat.
Spiritual. What is it? What is he really saying? When he says they ate, they did eat and they did drink of the same spiritual meat and the same spiritual drink. And he said that eat and that drink, or that meat and that drink, was a rock, and that rock was Christ. So they got delivered how?
By Christ.
By Christ. How? We just wrote it up here. Don't be scared.
By being baptized.
By being baptized, what? And being baptized unto what?
Moses.
Yeah, the deliverance. That's why he was. That's why you know what's interesting. You know what Moses means?
Water?
No. Close. It means drawn out. Drawn out. Drawn out of what?
The Nile.
He was drawn out of, right. Think about this. You know, this is what happened when we had too many weeks off, Johnny. Think about Paul as a type of the body of Christ. He's a Hebrew
and a
Roman citizen. And who better would God pick to represent the body of Christ than a man who's both Jew and Gentile? So he takes Moses to be a deliverer, where he's in the ark and he's delivered in an ark, and the same man who is delivered becomes
a deliverer.
Okay, let me erase some of this, but we're on the trail. They were baptized unto Moses. That's the only way they were delivered out of Egypt, is they had to associate themselves with Moses and the deliverance that he had to offer. Now, they were baptized. Now, just from you know that Moses... They were baptized unto Moses. You know that baptism does not always mean
water.
That they got wet. How do you know that?
Because Moses, because they didn't get wet.
Because they didn't get wet. The scripture said they went through on what?
Dry land.
So you know, you can't always associate that with water. It means something additional. It means identification, but it means something additional to that too. Identification with someone who offers you deliverance or not. Because if they reject Moses, as some of them did, some of the Egyptians did, what happened to them?
They got drowned.
They were drowned, what? In the sea. They got wet. You know what happened before they got to the Red Sea? Way back before that.
Striking the rock for the water. Did you bring us out here to starve us to death? He provides manna.
That's before that. They killed the what? The Passover lamb. Okay. So they were baptized under Moses. They come out victorious. Going where? Going to the promised land. You think they had Joseph with them? That's something Joseph was looking forward to. Resurrection. He had to be. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Especially since Joseph was a type of what? Of Christ. Okay. Now, 1 Peter. I'll tell you what. Hebrews first. I can use this one. Hebrews 9. Now, reason I'm saying this is, number one, is to make the connection between the propitiation and the ark. Why it's the ark? Why the first thing that God makes in the tabernacle is the ark and the mercy seat. He's already got deliverance in his mind. That's the first thing he makes. When they make the ark, when they make the tabernacle, he says to Moses, God says to Moses, make this. Make this ark. Put a mercy seat on it. Before the children of Israel get out of Egypt, he says, take a lamb. Keep it up. Matter of fact, what he said, a lamb.
I wonder when they were told to do that, if they thought back on the story of Abraham and Isaac from their recent history. And
After 400 years, probably not. But we can look back and see that connection, right? What did I say?
First year.
Huh? Oh, no, I meant, what verse did I say?
Well, you just said they probably mad. Not, but I mean, Joseph was part of that group and he knew and believed, so I'm sure there were some in there that could reflect on what they had been passed down from their generations about Abraham, because it was to Abraham that the land was promised. So there had to be some. just like in the future, when the Jews will look back into the scriptures and see the things that
That's could be. I leave it open. Okay. Well, that's the Hebrews. Hebrews Hebrews 11.
Oh,
let's pick 9 first. By faith. 11:7. By faith. Okay, we just read in Romans 3 that when we trust Christ, who is the propitiation, we get justified by faith through the redemption. Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth. How do you believe?
You have to hear the word.
You have to hear it. You have to have something to
believe in.
You have to have something to believe in. Something to have faith in, right? Okay. Noah, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared what?
Ark.
Prepared a what?
Ark.
Prepared an ark? To the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by works. By faith. Moses, God said this. It's a bunch of sinners out there, Johnny. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy this world with a flood. With what? I'm going to destroy. I'm going to baptize these people. That's what he said. I mean, that's what. I'm going to destroy the world with water. I'm going to immerse them. Submerge them, right. That's Noah, I know you believe me. I'll tell you what you're going to do. Since you believe me, you build this ark. And through this ark, I will deliver you from same thing. I'm going to deliver you from my wrath, from my judgment. And when you come out, you are going to be an heir. And you get it. He says, all the righteous are heirs. And their heirs, because they believe. Noah says, okay, that's, I believe you, God. He builds an ark. They go through, and Noah. God tells Noah that this ark, by doing this, that Noah condemned, I know that's not right, condemned the world. What does condemn mean? He showed that everybody else who didn't believe God, that they were condemned, that they were guilty, they were unrighteous, because they what? They didn't believe. They didn't believe in the... They didn't believe in the method that God had provided for them to be delivered. 1 Peter. Now, this is an ark, right? Who's in the ark?
Noah's
family. All the people who what? All the people who believed. Those people got delivered. Right? The ark, from your previous studies, you know the ark is a type
of Christ.
Yeah, ark, Moses, ark, ark, he got it all over the place. Well, that's 1 Peter. We get down there. 3:18. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Why did he do that? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved, what?
By water.
By water. Did they get wet?
No.
How were they saved by water?
They passed it. Well, by water. They passed through the raft, which was the water.
Because the water condemned everybody else.
The water condemned everybody else. The water was either going to be life for some or death to others. It was either going to offer deliverance or condemnation. Thank you. But that's just the instrument. Really, the answer was where? In the ark. Huh? Who shut Noah in? When he finally got done, who told him what to build?
God.
Told him exactly what to use. How to do it. Waited. And when they got through, the Lord shut the door. Boom.
They were sealed in Christ.
Okay, watch this.
Sealed.
He says, Sealed, yes. He said, where? Where at? That few were saved, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure. Just like that, he said, the like figure whereunto, here's Peter, even baptism doth also now save us. And notice the parentheses, right? He says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Drop down, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you know Peter is saying now, what saves us? Him. When he talking about the Hebrews, he says, the resurrection saves us. Right? He said, but the ark was a figure. And Peter says, the baptism, stay with me. I'm trying to, he said, that baptism is a figure of this ark. Or that ark is a figure of this baptism that saves us. And this, he said, is the resurrection of Christ. So here, Peter said, or the writer of Hebrews said, the ark was like a baptism, as a deliverance. Peter says, the resurrection of Christ, the baptism saves us. Not, and he said, not water,
but the answer of a good conscience.
But the what?
Answer of a good conscience.
The same way that if those people had a good conscience here, they would have believed what?
The word of God.
Which was what?
Get on the boat.
Get in the boat at this time. If the people in Peter's day, if they had a good conscience, what would they have done? What's the boat for them?
Them, Peter's audience?
What's the boat for them?
Are you saying them?
Okay, let me back up. The ark, you know how the
decision based on faith.
It's a decision based on faith.
Every scenario.
That's great. What's the decision for them?
That Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah. He's their Messiah.
Okay.
To get baptized.
To get baptized. Thank you, sir. That's what he says in the parentheses. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That's what they used it for. They thought it was.
For the priest to
cleanse. See, when the Pharisees come out, if you tell them, man, you're filthy.
Yeah,
who? Who, me? If you tell a Jew at that time, you're filthy. You need cleansing.
Don't get in the water.
Not me. He's not talking about me. He's talking about them. So they go out, and matter of fact, Luke 7, says that the Pharisees and the lawyers
rejected the counsel of God against themselves being not baptized.
I know that's wrong. They rejected, you know what? They had, I guess what the scripture would call, an evil conscience. Man, that's terrible. Anyway, a good conscience would submit itself to what God wanted, right? And by doing so, that would have put them in line for the next one. We'll finish up in a minute here. That baptism would have put them in line for the Spirit or the fire. But they wouldn't get the Spirit until when?
The Lord was gone.
Until he what?
Had ascended.
Until he dies, is buried, and he's resurrected.
And ascended.
Now, you said, wait a minute. What does that all have to do with propitiation? Is when he said the ark, which is a type of Christ, that's how he was able to deliver those people. Is through this type, which is still Christ. Everything points, what I'm getting at is this. Everything that God does, he points a way to a deliverance for the people. And just because you see this, it doesn't mean water. So, the minute we trust Christ, he says this, that God has set him forth to be a deliverance for you. Guess what's next? He said, by one Spirit,
we all baptized.
Are we all what?
Baptized into one body.
You think this is water?
No.
By one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body? In Colossians, he said that this baptism and this crucifixion and this resurrection is the operation of God. And he says, and you are complete in him. How would you get delivered today?
To hear the word of God and believe.
Believe, right. And the moment you believe,
you're sealed.
You get a baptism with water.
No.
Look, you get a deliverance. I know you never made the connection, have you? A deliverance because of that work. On his substitutionary work, his reconciling work, his redeeming work, his atoning work, his forgiving work. That's why that's the first thing that God talks about. In the tabernacle, that's why when he talks about the resurrection, everything, do you notice this when you go through the scriptures where when you're dealing with the Jews, Peter will say, or whomever, they say, you killed him, but God raised him up. What's next?
Well, Peter says he raised him up to sit on David's throne.
You know what's always next after that? He says, you killed him, but if you repent and change your mind, God will deliver you. If you repent, and he always throws that in there. The water. He throws that in there. Because it's connected with their program. But for us, it's all done by the Spirit. That's why you can get this without freely, without getting wet. And the Spirit does it. Look, now, I know that crammed all that into to a lesson, but that's something where you when you think of what Christ has accomplished, and when you if you're talking to somebody and they give you a hard time about water baptism or it wouldn't be hard for them to understand that the Spirit baptizes us, or the Spirit is what delivers us now by putting us into Christ. You had nothing to do with it. The moment you believe, God, in the Romans or 2 Corinthians 5 says, all things are of God. He takes over the moment you believe. Faith is what gets you into this process. When he says, by faith, you are by grace through faith, not of works. He said you are baptized, it's the operation of God, circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and you're resurrected. How did all that happen with you sitting down in a chair? That's why when you look at next week, he asked the question, is he the God of the Jews only? Was this process just available for the Jews? He said, no, the Gentiles too. Well, how do we get it? He said, yeah, they got it through something. We get it by faith.
Through faith.
That's a big.
Huh? Through faith and by faith.
By faith, yeah.
You said through
they
faith.
Get it. Well, yeah. Anyway, you know what? I know that was probably too much for one sitting, but I got to jam it 2 weeks into 1 week.
Gave us a lot to chew on.
They give you something to go home. And actually, we'll go back and pick up at verse 27. Well, I just threw that out there as a primer. Huh?
Recap primer.
Yeah, recap primer. Crammer. But that at least it gives you you go home and think about some things. Next week or a week after that, we'll regroup.
I'll get the lesson out on the internet this afternoon.
So we'll stop there. We'll stop.
A lot of good stuff there.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. We just pray that as we continue to read and study, that our understanding would become more and more fruitful to the things you accomplished on our behalf. We just thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well,